For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Riley Friday, happy Friday, everybody. Conference tournament week. I'm running on fumes personally, but Cart has a new haircut, so he is re-energized. And more importantly, Riley Davis is phoning in from not his normal setup here. He's making time for us on the road. It's a road game for Riley. How you doing, Davis?
Oh, we're good. I said this on the Pot is the Roof earlier this week. I've probably said it in me and Carter's previews for the ACC tournament. I am in La Quinta Hotel right now in Orlando, Florida. I think most of the loyal listeners know I work full-time in campus ministry with students. We have a service trip we're doing in Orlando. We have like 9 students here, so free day today. So I thought, of course, you know, I have to be here to record a Riley Friday.
I love it.
I had no idea you were in Orlando this whole time, and I've been recording with you multiple times. And In all actuality, I thought you were at a La Quinta somewhere in North Carolina.
I just want to reiterate that it is a free day. I could be at Disney right now. I could be at Islands of Adventure. I could be running around and like looking like Mega Dork in a Harry Potter cloak at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But I'm spending my time with y'all.
And it's much appreciated. Your team tips off in less than an hour as well in that first game of the ACC tournament. So you really are prioritizing the Sleepers podcast, which we appreciate. Can't believe we've made it 90 seconds into the show without comment from Cart on his new haircut. How you feeling about it?
So this is my first cut in a while. My barber's been a little MIA. You know, we just been on different schedules. But, I mean, the voice, he snapped. I don't really know what other way to put it. Personally, I wanted to get rid of the mustache, but I also started to realize that I wouldn't have been on here till probably about 11:30 if I started, you know, getting rid of mustache and things like that. So, once, you know, my sacrifices were made for the greater good of the program, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Also, Greg, are you not going to comment on my backdrop?
Well, I think the stash looks a lot better, than no stash for the record. I'm glad it stayed. And on the backdrop, is that Pierre?
It's a version of Pierre. We have ceramic Pierre here.
Okay, so you just replaced the tequila bottle with ceramic Pierre.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to add something every day, not replace the one thing every day.
I mean, my brother, do you not need me on here to start? I mean, I didn't have time today to prepare my background to its full ability, so I just switched out one thing.
More time to switch it out than it would be to just add it. Okay, I'm not going to try and understand your bits anymore. By the way, the slipper flip was cute for 3 weeks, and now we've moved on to this and forgotten all about the slipper flip. So I don't know. This is what we've come to expect, I guess. Also, how many things that are the shape of your dog do you have in this house?
Like, including my dog?
Yes. Like right behind you right now is a pillow that is shaped like your dog.
Yeah, I'd say about 6 things.
It's a lot of things shaped like your dog.
Don't talk to me. Talk to TJ Maxx and Home Goods and my wife.
All right, understood. As Cart alluded to, it's been a big week. Carter and Riley doing the ACC tournament previews and recaps for us. We're doing it for all 5 of the conferences. I think we put 33 videos up on the channel last night, all between like 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning. A lot of work went into that. Riley Davis is a part of it, as are Cart and I, and we appreciate everybody who's helping and everybody who's supporting those videos and watching them. Hopefully you're enjoying them. Let's get to the show, though. Riley has us making some March predictions today. Should be really fun. But we start, as always, with Carter's YouTube comment of the day.
Once again, shout out to the YouTube community. Do we have like is our YouTube community? Do they have a name?
Or no.
Are we just calling them YouTube community? Okay. We'll do that. I will go. Okay. I kind of like this theme, Greg. I know we've done net talk this week. Maybe that's just a theme of this week. So I gotta ask this because I need your comments on this. This comment comes from Z Maycamp, I think it is. Nets at baseball games literally save people's lives. That's kind of true. Like,
no,
if that
don't.
network.
No, they don't. They no, they do not. First off, oh my God, I can't believe this is day three of the net discussion. Have you ever sat behind one of those nets at a baseball game? It sucks. You can't see anything. It totally disrupts the viewing experience. Everyone knows if you care about being at the game at all, you avoid watching from behind the net. Sack up. I'm sorry, not to get like gender specific here, but can we just put a glove on? Put a mitt on, folks. You don't need a net to protect you
right
from a
behind
foul
the
ball.
Plate?
Go put a glove on and catch the ball, okay? Go home with a souvenir. Don't sit there and shake behind the net because you're nervous a ball's going to hit you. That net disrupts the viewing experience for hundreds, if not thousands, of fans at every ballpark in America.
Okay, then.
God, man. Understand. Like, come on. Riley, do you have net thoughts?
You made some compelling cases against the net, against nets, I should say, recently. One of my favorite suggestions was just play spike ball on a trampoline. No more nets.
Also, we didn't get too deeply into that, but technically a trampoline is just a very tightly woven net.
It's a different material, though.
So now we're trying to give net credit to things that just aren't nets. That's what we're doing.
I also thought traffic cones. There was one thing that was like, nets save people's life. Just use traffic cones instead.
I stand by it. Haven't heard one that has me feeling bad about my stance yet. By the way, we're a big segment podcast, clearly, as we do YouTube comments, then one big thing presented by Bigby, and three segments in between. I kind of want to add a new segment from Riley going forward. Can we have like a Riley theology segment presented by Crew, where you come in and spit some scripture to us?
I would love that. I'll prepare something for next week. Okay. Get everybody's hearts right before the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I like that. That feels great. Okay. All right, boys. Let's get to the Discord comments. If you would love to, we would love to see you in the Discord. Once again, we've had multiple people join every single night this week. It's been fantastic to see that grow. Last night, we had Jay Hulst 15 and Brandon Paul's AOL account, and then Hyena Scar, and then Old Boiler Al just joined this morning. That's four signups in the last 24 hours. I believe we are now, what did I say? I think we're 12 away from Carter getting a sleeper's tattoo. And honestly, I might just pay for Riley to join the Discord to be the 200th member so he can say he is the reason Carter got a sleeper's tattoo. Let's get to the comments, though. This starts with Fam, who says, happy Friday to the Gotta Get It boys. Where we at with renewable energy? In or out on solar panels? Upgrade or downgrade from NFTs?
I am in on solar panels. I am out on solicitors who try to sell you solar panels.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm also out on people that put signs in front of their house that say no soliciting. I think you might as well just say you're a soft household.
Facts.
If you handle business and you stand on business correctly, you don't need that sign. You just handle yours.
Yeah, I'm surprised Riley doesn't like solicitors. That's my takeaway here. He strikes me as a guy who would like open the door, converse for far too long. Nat's like, Riley, what are you doing? And then you invite them in for like an ice cold glass of water.
I could 100% see that. I know for a fact, I've never seen Riley's house at all, but I know for a fact that door is so welcoming. And then you open the door, Natalie's in the background, Theo's maybe taking his afternoon nap or tummy time. It's just a very welcoming household. I know that.
Yeah, 100%. We'll make it to that household one day. I can't wait. Ryan the Depressed Fool says, it's a sunny day out. You're drunk and want food. There's two stands, a walking taco stand and ice cream cookie sandwich stand. Which one are you going to? This is an ongoing argument that I need another opinion on. I'm going to warn you boys now. I'm going to get more hate for my take on this one than I've gotten for my Nets take this week. Riley, what's your answer?
I go walking taco over ice cream. Ice cream doesn't really sound like it would satisfy if you're actually hungry.
Yeah, I'm walking taco too. I'm also avidly against like ice. Honestly, I'm against sweets when I'm maybe a little bit under the adult beverages. I'd rather just have food. I don't really want sweets.
Okay, brace yourselves. Walking tacos are a disgrace to the taco community, an absolute disgrace.
I'm with you on that take, by the way.
The fact that we even get to call a bag of Fritos with some slop thrown in it a taco is an insult. It's a massive insult. It just is. There's never been a moment that I have looked forward to eating a walking taco. And yes,
are walking tacos, are they big in the Midwest or something? I've maybe had like one in my life.
They're really not that big. I'm very confused. Honestly, my main question out of this is, where's Ryan finding walking taco stands?
That's a good question. My wife's family loves to do the walking taco thing. It's like, oh, we're going to get the family together. What are we doing for dinner? We'll do walking tacos. I'm like, can we just get regular tacos? There's 1,000 great taco places in this city. Coop says, me and Greg have briefly talked about this. I'd like to hear Carter and Riley's opinions. And if Greg would like to expand his. I'm curious how much value you put into metrics versus eye test. Here's a couple examples. In Wisconsin, Purdue had a 16-point lead. Then they very clearly let their foot off the gas. It goes to a 4-point game. Purdue wins by 8. A close margin of victory could hurt your metrics. On paper, the game got dicey. But in my opinion, there was zero fear that Purdue was going to lose that game. How do you guys view this? Are you eye test? Are you metrics? Are you a mix of both? Riley, what do you think?
That's a great question. It's something that I've found myself asking a lot this year. I guess I would say a mix of both. I like analytics and metrics. I just don't like when they completely dominate the discussion. Like, I don't like when that's what you lead with when you're telling me what KenPom says or what the T rank is. Like, I think they're helpful tools to back up what you watch on the court. And I do think, like, I've said before, I don't gamble, but I see people who have gambled probably. I know people who gamble who love those analytics for that purpose and think it helps. So, like, I'm sure the predictive part, you know, is helpful. But at the same time, we've said that the net has been lying on Michigan State. They've been lying on Gonzaga. They've been lying on Wisconsin to the point where, I don't know, you just got to have some balance with it.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. The phrase I like to use is I like to use metrics and analytics as an accessory to like what I'm actually watching and seeing. But in regards to like what, who said the comment again? Was it Coop? It was Coop, right, G?
Coop, yes.
Yeah. So the thing is, I don't like also like blurring the lines also with end of game stuff like Purdue took their foot off the gas. Now, I know that does happen and I know that affects metrics. And that's like, honestly, that's probably the whole reason why Michigan State's even up there in the net, because they keep games close and they don't get blown out and then they blow out Stony Brook and Southern Indiana. Like, I guess it's 50-50 for me. Like, I'm a eye test guy. I think first, maybe like 51% eye test, 49 metrics and analytics. But like at the same time, you ask, like, if I'm saying that Michigan State is a tournament team, you know, the metrics say they for sure are. What I see is like, you know, Nova metrics wise, probably a tournament team. What I see, that team doesn't belong in the tournament. Yeah. So it goes both ways.
Short, quick snips from me on this. Letting your foot off the gas. I don't love that term in general, specific to Purdue as a team this season. Letting the foot off the gas to me would be Painter's playing Miles Colvin and Willie Berg and bringing the bench guys in who normally don't play. He doesn't really do that. You can go through the game logs. There hasn't been much of a game, even when they're up 16 against good teams, Zach Edey and Braden Smith are still on the floor. So if Zach Edey and Braden Smith are playing worse, to me, that's not letting your foot off the gas. And if it really is them just saying, oh, we don't care, we're up big, we can be sloppy, that tells you something about those players. Like, that is a note to take going forward, because not all teams do let their foot off the gas in those settings. I think analytics, all sites are a tool in the tool belt of understanding college basketball. I think the eye test is a tool too. You have to mix it together and decide for yourself what matters most. I still will give a shout out to Evan Miyakawa, because for me personally, it matters way more what you do against good teams. And I think too many of the metrics that define a team are built on, well, did you blow out team 300 or did you only beat them by 4? And then it tells you you're 20 spots higher. I care about how you showed up and played against the best teams on your schedule, and not enough weight's put into that. His new opponent adjusted metric does. It's awesome. Go check it out. I feel like
Evan's also, his site also filters out garbage time. Like, you can look at that metric too, to see what, like, I think it's called the true game score metric, to where if you want to test your, let your foot off the gas theory. But I think his garbage time filter probably gives you the score when there's like under 2 minutes to go or something, and it's a 15-point game, you know, or 20-point game, and takes out the walk-on minutes, not minutes with Braden Smith letting his foot off the gas, if you will.
Right. The last thing, too, all of this stuff, like we said, it matters. Look at it. One thing I don't think the metrics ever do a good job at is defining trends and how a team is playing now versus how they were playing in November. You go to KenPom, you go to Torvik, you get the numbers, and if Michigan State's 25th, okay, maybe that's because they were playing better in December before Tyson Walker hurt his groin. Maybe now they're playing like the 75th best team in the country, which is why you constantly hear me on here citing since February 1st when you cut up the numbers. Like, there needs to be a better way to talk about who you are now versus who you were in the beginning of the season, because to use my team as an example, Michigan had a great offense. They weren't a good team, but they were one of the best offenses in the country through Christmas. And then after Christmas, when they got the Doug news, they became the worst offense in high major basketball, like DePaul level bad. So things change over the course of a season. The metrics don't always do a good job of telling you that. The eye test sometimes does. Travis Nelson says, in my opinion, the worst part of conference tournament week is jamming a ton of finals into Saturday night. Thursday and Friday have no finals. That's annoying. The small schools get a lot of shine over the week, but they get forgotten about when you have the ACC, Big East, Big 12, and Pac-12 all on Saturday night. Also for Riley, do you like the ACC finals on Saturday, or did you like the Sunday afternoon better?
I like Saturday. I just feel like when you have any final, I get where Travis is coming from to where it does feel like there's too much going on Saturday. But when you have finals on Sunday, it truly seems like the committee doesn't care at all about those results. It doesn't, like the SEC tournament champion, the Big Ten tournament champion. I saw some tweet today from Warlock that said something about the committee was seeding the ones last night. I don't know if that means that's set in stone already. Like, I've kind of felt like for the last 4 or 5 years that the committee doesn't care about the conference tournament champions at all. Like, yeah, you can help yourself if you win a quarterfinal or a semifinal game and you need another Q1 that can get you in the field. But yeah, that's why, like, I don't know. I mean,
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want UNC to win the ACC tournament. I won't even be crushed if they lose to Florida State today, though, because I just don't know how much that's going to help them get off the two and onto the one line.
Yeah, but Armando Bacot's desperate to win this.
No, that thank you for letting me know, Riley, right now. That helps me decide.
Cart placing Florida State money line at my bookie right now. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I didn't know that was the mindset. We're good, though.
Yeah, okay. I don't mind everything on Saturday, for the record. I don't think there's a better way to do it. Because you want games all the way through the weekend. You don't want like the ACC tournament to be done on Thursday.
I would get rid of all Sunday games, though.
I think they should have like one game that's like Army Navy in football should be on Selection Sunday. I don't know what game it is.
It should lead right into Selection Sunday should take place like at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and they should play the game and then immediately shoot upstairs and like have just the committee in the stands watching the game. And that's
it. That
would
be fun. That would be extremely fun. Yeah, give me like the Ivy League championship on like Sunday at noon and then Selection Sunday.
That was actually my exact thought, too. I was going to say, Ivy, go.
Let us be commissioners in college basketball. Malik Perry has a long comment here about women's basketball and fighting and more sucker punch talk. I'm just going to not read that one, but I will read Malik's second comment that says, Greg, Netflix is the best. Hulu sounds like a Hawaiian network, and Peacock, LOL, is good. And your reason was Big Ten basketball, which sucks. Fair points. All extremely fair points. Carr, you're shaking your head, though.
Well, the only thing is that I think Peacock should get more recognition because of the versatility of Peacock. Like, Peacock now has basketball. There's football games on there. There's soccer. And then on top of that, I didn't even realize this. There's, like, specific shows that are only on Peacock. Like, I fired up an episode of SVU with the wife last night. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's the Traitor show I'm talking about. I love it. It's on Peacock. It's great. I also just realized that Malik spelled Peacock P-E-E-cock. I have no idea if that was intentional or not. Regress says, question for Riley, my geopolitical wizard. Good Lord. The city of Manaus in Brazil lies deep within the Amazon, and due to that is largely disconnected from the infrastructure of the rest of the country. Due to this, there is high poverty and crime rates. Do you feel as though the development of infrastructure connecting the city outweighs the negatives of the environmental impact on the rainforest? Mm-hmm. Additionally, do you think the new administration of Brazil is ready to take on that kind of responsibility so close to the start of their term?
Wow. Now that is a heavy hitter coming in this early Thursday morning. Let's see. Is it worth the environmental impact? Yes, as long as it's not like colonizing. Let's move on.
Okay. All right. From Ulamog, Riley, what's your theory on what happened to Kate Middleton?
Can someone fill me in on this? There's conspiracy, she's dead.
I'm waiting for my wife to update me last night, but I know that when I was recording episodes with G, I texted her at like 1 a.m. and I was like, are you up on TikTok right now? Because I could hear her like watching it. She's like, I got sucked into this Kate Middleton thing. And I'm like, what is it? I didn't get the update because, you know what I'm saying, I was grabbing this cut, you know what I'm saying? But I got
all right. Here's the update. I made a joke about this that maybe I shouldn't have made on Action Network yesterday, but hey, it is what it is. Kate Middleton apparently hasn't been seen in public in a very long time. Kate Middleton is obviously like royalty and a huge public figure. People started to be suspicious about that. It's very odd that the royal family, a member, would not be seen. So once the news started getting around, or the rumors just of like, oh my God, what happened to her? The family, and I believe it came from Kate Middleton, an account, or maybe it was from someone in the family, put a picture up of Kate Middleton, like with the kids, that is clearly Photoshopped, And she got called out on it, or someone got called out on it. And they then acknowledged that it was Photoshopped. And the story was that Kate Middleton likes to Photoshop things on her own and is working on her Photoshop skills. So she has still not been seen in public. If they wanted to squash it and she was alive, they could literally just have her walk outside and this is squashed. Instead, it's snowballing massively and people believe that she's dead.
Two things before we move on. One, free my dog Meghan Markle until it's backwards. Two, it didn't really hit me until just now when you just explained it, Gregory. So you're telling me that you made a joke about Kate Middleton refer to Rutgers and Kate Middleton might be dead?
I said on the Action Network yesterday, because we were talking about a pre-show before clicking record, we were like, what happened to Kate Middleton? It got to my turn, and my best bet of the day was Maryland -3.5. And what I said to start, you can see it, they clipped it, was much like Kate Middleton, Rutgers basketball, I have my suspicions that they might be dead.
Good grief. My word.
Man. I was right about Rutgers.
You could have just said, much like Kate Middleton, Rutgers basketball hasn't been seen in months. Like,
that's
isn't that better than...
That's a lot better.
That's a lot better. That is a lot better.
That's a lot better. Let's move on. Rowlett, Texas Boiler. By the way, hope you're okay. Want to make that unequivocally clear? We are very prayerful that Kate Middleton is alive. Free her. Rowlett, Texas Boiler says, what's your take on these rules that NCAA every year want to focus on, and then the years after they just seem to fade away? The cylinder rule, charging, intentional fouls, just examples. Riley?
It's a great, great point that it's always like, remember when there was a flopping technical that they called for like a month and a half, and it's like, all right, business as usual. That seems like every single rule that the NCAA does. Either make the rules and enforce them, or just don't. Then again, I don't care.
Stripes is a generational year. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Stripes are great. Sham Dane Poppy. I don't know if that's a new person or a new name or what. Maybe that was Danger's own previously. Says, thank you guys for your dedication and commitment to your content and all the hard work you do. I look forward to listening every day. Speaking of dedication, commitment, and hard work, I'm getting married in 65 days. As three married men, what is your best advice for the big day? First off, thank you, Sham Dane Poppy. Let's go to Cart first on this one. What is your best advice for getting married?
Oh, I say two things. One, whether it's before or after having that moment with your wife where you just like take all of it in and like you realize all the people are there, but like there's so much going on that day that you really don't even have time to take a step back, and like it goes so quick. That's a generic answer, but like I truly, like you actually have to do that to take everything in. The second thing that didn't happen to me, but everyone was saying to me, so I should say it to everybody else, is when you're standing up there, make sure your knees are bent a little bit, because some people stand up too straight and they're standing up there for a good amount of time. And I guess like the knees lock up and like grooms have like fell over or something like that. I mean, I'm too much of an athlete for that, but make sure you keep your knees bent when you're up there, you know, waiting to say I do.
I hate that advice. Just pure negative advice. Like, hey, there's a chance you might fall over and ruin your wedding is your advice. Hate that advice. Riley, what are your advice?
Do some sort of physical activity that morning. Get some of the nerves out, whether that's going to the gym, playing basketball, or both.
I don't know about the basketball suggestion, Riley.
Okay, let's say go to the gym then.
You don't want to sprain an ankle or something like
true.
That.
My wife broke her ankle 3 weeks before our wedding playing beach volleyball.
Wow. Okay, maybe avoid like strenuous activity. Do some sort of physical activity though. Get the nerves out. Enjoy it. Try to remember to have fun. Don't get caught up in just all the stress of the day, but also remember, invest more in the marriage than the wedding.
Ooh. Wow.
Weddings one day. Marriage is your life.
That was poignant.
So glad I went before Riley. Good luck, Greg. What do you got?
That was nice. A couple. Don't sweat the little things planning wise. You will not remember how many candles you had or what color the tablecloths are. You will remember the fun moments, the how you felt, the emotions, the people that were there, the interactions you had. None of the little stuff matters as much as it seems really stressful at the time. And then second one is a logistic piece for me. I highly advise the concept of a mini moon after a wedding. My wife and I did this. I know a lot of people like to like leave at like 4 a.m. to catch a flight and go straight to their honeymoon. I'm sure when you do that, it ends up great. My points for the mini moon would be this. It's a lot more low key. I know personally, I enjoyed not having to like wake up at 5 a.m. and take a taxi to the airport. Like I just liked waking up in bed with my wife and letting it sink in and then going to breakfast and seeing people from the wedding and then just like going up north to Michigan for a couple days, still have the time off work, still have a honeymoon to look forward to months down the line. And, then you can take a more tropical trip after that.
Respect.
Good job, guys. I feel like we did good there. Congrats to Shamday and Poppy and Mrs. Shamday and Poppy as well.
Where's the invite?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you want us to officiate your wedding, we could. I am officiating a wedding, actually, coming up in the summer.
Yeah, I can't officiate, but I can show up and be a vibes guy.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I've never officiated a wedding, and I'm jealous that Greg is going to get to do one before I do. And this is a PSA to my students out there. Catch up.
Riley, how jealous are you that I'm getting ordained?
Very jealous.
Side note, this is for another day, but I have a great, well, kind of not great wedding story. Something crazy happened at my wedding reception that resulted in jail time for like a plus one who attended the wedding. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to tell the story, but Cart knows it. And on a future episode, we will if someone asks for it. Ryan, the depressed fool, says, just want to thank Riley, Brian, Lucas, Subi, Christian, and especially Carter and Greg for all they're doing. I can tell this shit's hard, but it's not going unnoticed. I can say that I know it'll be worth it. Keep up the amazing work, guys. Thank you, Ryan. This is the first time Ryan said something nice to me in like a month and a half. I love that role from Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his cadence, a month and a half. Throw something in, you guys have a moment, and then we're all good. Get back to normal.
Get right back. He picks me up at my lowest, and I like to think I do that with him. Michigan's season ends last night, and here he is with positivity. Thank you, Ryan. That means the world. Final question here from Travis Nelson. Just says, good news for you, Greg. Louisville proved it's possible to fire an 8-24 head coach. That is great news. I have my alerts set. I'm getting a lot of jokes off on the timeline at Ward Manuel's expense. That's fun.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, have you made a Kobe joke yet? They did it for Kobe, 8-24. Is that too obvious?
The other people have made the Kobe joke. Yeah. Okay. I stay away from making jokes about dead people, but with Kate Middleton.
Clearly not true.
Yeah. Why don't we just move on to the show? Before we do move on to the show, though, would like to remind everyone that this very program is presented by our friends at MyBookie. Carter, you just went and placed a Florida State moneyline bet at MyBookie. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I mean, there's no other place to do it. I mean, it has everything you need. You got the odds boost. There's expert predictions on there. I mean, anything that you need is at MyBookie. You know, it's easy to place a bet anywhere, anytime. And currently, you can get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 by using code SLEEPERS. Greg, what code is that?
That's actually code SLEEPERS.
So I don't know what you're doing. March Madness, it's time. Download my bookie, use promo code SLEEPERS, and get your deposit bonus and, you know, have a good time. Make some money.
Thank you, Cart. And on another note, we actually didn't do an ad read yesterday because I'm stupid and forgot it on the main show. So to pay it back to my bookie, I'm actually going to do a second consecutive ad read. Hey, Cart, do you know where you can go to bet on March Madness?
No, but I would like to know.
It's actually my bookie. You can enter bracket contests, take a chance to take home prizes up to $25,000, straight bets, props, odds, boosts, whatever you need. My bookie makes it easy. Riley Davis doesn't bet. One day he will. I'm going to coerce him into this world of savagery, and we will do so together at MyBookie. Promo code SLEEPERS, first deposit bonus up to $1,000. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with us, even from a La Quinta Inn in Orlando, Florida. Let's get to the show. Riley Davis, what are we doing today?
We are all giving our bold predictions for the tournament. I gave you all a heads up on this. We're each giving five predictions. Makes it more fun that the bracket has not been set yet, but we have a pretty...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pretty good idea of the seedings. For the loyal listeners, you know how it goes with the point systems. In case we have any new people listening, we did this in the preseason back in November. We gave 20 bold predictions for the season, and the one who wasn't making the prediction determined how many points that prediction was worth if it came true. I believe I got like 25 out of probably a possible 300 of my points right for the preseason ones. We can do that math later. So let's get into it. I was going to kick us off and give you my five.
Let's do it. I do want to let the scorekeepers at home know, I believe Cart and I are tied from our preseason predictions at 36, if the math was correct. So this is a big moment for us.
Also, Nova might miss the tournament, which also would get me in the lead.
Correct.
And I actually might be at a 29 now because Dylan Dessou made a first team All Big 12. So
Houston. I'm on your heels. Said, I don't know if we gave you credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't think y'all did.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. So throw all the points out the window. Yes. Whose line is it anyway, style? Riley, let's hear your five. And then so Carter and I get to combine for what the points are? Okay.
Yep. First prediction, Indiana State gets an at-large, but they lose by 12 or more points in the first round, whether that's a first four or whether it's the round of 64. We all have a discourse about why people gas this team up and act like it would be a grave travesty to keep them out of the field.
You know, I want to give this a three.
It's 1 to 10 is the scale, right? So you're thinking that's pretty likely to happen, Cart?
Yeah, I think it's pretty like I you know, we're doing this whole thing where they just didn't win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. They're talking about they're missing a guy and things like that, but they also just like didn't win.
Yeah, I don't know. Of the quote unquote, like powerful Cinderellas this year, like I think Indiana State is the one I'm least impressed with. And the other ones I would throw in are like McNeese and James Madison. So I'm fine with the 3 points. I think even at their best full strength, I'm not expecting much from them. 3 points.
All right. I'll take it. Maybe I should have been bolder and said they'll lose by 20, but can't change it now.
That would have gotten you at least 6 points.
True.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Sweeney for this stat. Indiana State, 22 of their 28 wins came against Q3 and Q4 opponents. So let's, and they lost by 12 to Michigan State. Let's move on to prediction number two.
Right.
Only two teams in the mighty Big 12 make the second weekend, and one is BYU.
Wow. I mean, I think that's got to be 10 points. Because that's a multifaceted, layered prediction. It would already be risky to say just two Big 12. But when you narrow in that one has to be BYU, and you'd presume one is Houston, he's essentially saying no Kansas, no Baylor, no Texas Tech. I think that's a 10-point prediction.
Yeah, there are Mormons too. Yeah, 10.
Also, I don't think BYU is making a Sweet 16. So that's, can we give more than 10 points?
No, let's cut it off at 10. Let's not do that. 10.
I love that prediction.
All I'm going to say is Ali Khalifa is who everyone wants Robbie Avila to be. So let's move on to prediction number 3. Rob Dillingham eclipses his career high of 35 points in one of Kentucky's games. So he scores at least 36 in a game.
That's doable because Rob, but that's also extremely bold. I'll go 9. I won't go full 10.
I would
got to do it off the bench.
Yeah, right. I would love to give you a ton of points for this if you like added that it happens in a loss or something. I feel like just predicting a career high from Rob Dillingham isn't that crazy of a prediction in the bright lights. But I'll lean where Cart wants to go. I mean, you think that's worth 9? He has a high career high, so I get it.
You kind of just talk. Okay, now I'm bumping it down to a 7.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean it's a really high career high, but
the 36 off the bench is crazy. I know that he still plays what, like probably 30, close to 30 a game, but still 36.
Riley,
off
the bench. If you keep begging, I'm gonna bump it down to a 6. Okay, it's a 7.
I will take my 7 and be all happy. All right. Prediction number 4. No upsets from teams 14, or excuse me, from seeds 14 through 16. So if you are a 1, 2, or 3 seed, go ahead and chalk it up. You're going to the second round.
I think that's a 10. I think he deserves a lot of points for that. There's always some sort of chaos, and I don't feel particularly good about the 2 and 3 seeds this year.
Yeah, I'll give that a 10. I will. I agree.
Also, like, who wants to root for that? Like, what are we doing? What have we become on this show? We want no upsets from the
first. When you're a fan of a 2 potential 1 seed, you want that. So
yeah.
You can tell me to watch my tone if you want. But there have been so many, like the Big Sky champ. Like the Big Sky champ is, I think, Montana State. They're projected 16. Like the Big Sky is usually good for a scare as a 14 seed, but their favorites lost. Like Big South's favorite loss. Like there's been a bunch of upsets and teams just not handling business. Colgate's not as good as they normally are per Jim Root of 3-Man Weave. I'm not going to act like I follow the Patriot League, but if Jim Root tells me something about the Patriot League, I believe it. Like I feel pretty good about this one. So
that's a good rule to follow for
that's
like
a great rule.
Yeah. I actually think from a value perspective, I think you getting 10 points for this prediction is the best any of us are going to do. I think there's a lot of good thought that goes into it, but I still think I mean, it's like hitting a 12-leg parlay on the favorites. It's still unlikely to happen.
All right, prediction number 5, my personal favorite. UNC, my North Carolina Tar Heels. They're in Phoenix. They are in the Final Four. And the MOP of the regional, I'm assuming they're going to be in the East Regional, it is not RJ Davis. It's Cormac Ryan.
Damn, that ain't happening.
Okay, 10. So no, hold on. I don't want to reward 10 for this because first off, come on. Second off, so Cart, this is a cowardly pick from Mr. Davis here. I'm going to talk to Cart as if Riley's not here. No disrespect. I love Riley Davis, but I'm just going to talk as if Riley's not here and he's listening on his walk with Theo right now. This was a cowardly pick, a non-cowardly pick when you're a 2 seed would be to pick your team to win a national championship.
True.
What are we doing? And I get you're trying to get cute and throw the Cormac element in this for points, but like, do you believe in your team or do you not?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
How many points would it be if I say UNC wins the title? Because I don't think Cormac's going to be the MOP of the national championship of the Final Four, but I think he can get an MOP of the regional.
Okay, I'm in. If you say Carolina wins the title and Cormac gets a most outstanding player somewhere along the way, that's a 10-point prediction.
Yeah, I'll give you 10 for that.
All right, let me change it to that.
No, docked 1 point because you let us manhandle you and workshop the prediction for you.
All right, I will take my 9 points for Carolina wins the national championship. Cormac gets an MOP along the way, whether that's in the final, whether that's in the regional.
Yeah, that's not happening. So, but that was a good one.
That's not happening. All right, Greg, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I want Riley Davis to choose who goes next.
I'm going to make Greg go second because I feel like Greg is going to, if Greg goes last, he's going to do his like mind tricks to make us give him more points than they're worth. Yeah, very survival, survivor style-esque. I need Greg. Greg is going now.
That's a smart move by you, but any good Survivor player can adapt to the conditions. It's fine. I was going to save my fifth pick to throw like an obvious one, like Purdue wins their first round game just to get 1 point automatic and maybe win this if it comes down to it. I have five good ones, though, I think. And I think they're all relatively bold. It'll just be spite if you guys don't give me good numbers for these. My first prediction is that at some point this tournament, Braden Smith will win most outstanding player of either the regional or either the final four. Keep in mind, he is on the team with Zach Edey. So it would be incredibly improbable that Zach Edey would not win one of those two if Purdue does well. Braden Smith wins one.
How many chances does he have to win it? Like, do they just do two? Okay.
So it would either be they get to the final four and he's like better than Zach Edey along the way, or they win the national championship and he's better than Zach Edey in there.
See, I don't think that's as crazy as you think, because I think there's going to be some give it to somebody else energy. Like, it's, Zach, like, he's national player of the year. I'm only willing to give that a seven.
That's crazy.
I was going to go eight. I'd bump it up to an eight, Cart, because there's a very good chance that Purdue doesn't even make the final four.
Okay, I'll go eight.
There's a chance Purdue doesn't make the final four, and if they do, it's likely because Edie's dominant. Like, it's an unlikely world that Smith is like the star and they win that much.
Greg, this isn't
it's not a negotiation.
All right, you have your eight.
A bad grade. I just feel for our listeners that they have to be put through this, like laughing at what a horrible grade it was. Thank God neither of you are school teachers. I mean, we got IT sales and theology here. All right. Alabama and Auburn both lose in the very first round. But both are bounced. Not one. Both teams do not get a win in the NCAA tournament. I think Auburn's going to be a two seed. And I think Alabama's going to be a three or a four at worst.
That's got to be worth 10, I feel like, Riley, right?
Yeah, I was going to say nine, so I'll bump it up to a 10. I feel like, especially because Alabama tends to blow out bad teams. I'll give you a 10 for that.
Still zero combined wins for those two teams against a top 25 opponent this year that's not each other. It's March 14th. That's wild. Okay, I mean, obviously, I had to go here. Budarius Lamar Bowie Jr. makes a Sweet 16.
They're banged up, so that's even more. That bumps it up to me. I would actually give a 9 for that, because I think they're going to be an 8-9. That means they got to knock off a one seed, and they're banged up. That's damn near a 10, but I'm going to go 9 because I didn't like the way you talked to me that first prediction.
It's fair.
I'm with you. I don't think Northwestern's ever made a second weekend before, have they?
They have not. They have not. Missing two starters, for the record. And by the way, it's going to be Houston that they get in the second round. Just telling you right now. Mark your calendars. If y'all don't give me 10 for this one, you're just hating. St. Mary's makes the Final Four.
10.
That might be a 12.
10. 10 and take it.
Aiden Mahaney, dog. Want that on record.
He is a dog, but that's undoubtedly a 10. What's the last one?
It's going to be bad for the sport, though. It's going to be gross.
Gosh.
This one, I think, is also a 10. Otherwise, you guys are just hating. Kentucky and Illinois both lose before the Sweet 16. Both these little darlings, both of Cart's favorite heartstrings teams, will not make a Sweet 16.
That's not a 10, because we're talking about Illinois, who hasn't made a Sweet 16 in forever, and Kentucky is the most volatile team.
Whoa.
Kentucky hasn't made a Sweet 16 since 2019. That's a long time, too.
You have spent all year saying these teams are second weekend teams. And now when I say definitively they are both not, you're going to say, oh, that's a pretty predictable prediction?
Well, yeah. Well, I go back to this. Once again, I didn't like the way you talked to me. But I'll give you a 9.
Okay, we can give him a 9. I was going to say an 8 because in hindsight, maybe Boo making a Sweet 16 should be a 10. But I'll give him the extra point here and say it's a 9. That still feels high for this. Fine. We'll give you a 9.
I'll take a 9. I just swindled y'all on the final one. Okay, Cart's five predictions.
Okay, mine are a little more simple than y'all's, of course. Like, that's just the kind of the way I operate. Michigan State doesn't win a game in the tournament.
2.
Michigan State doesn't win one game in the tournament. They are one and done.
Yeah, I think two.
Two?
Do you think you're going to be favored in the first game? Like,
maybe.
Are you in? Are you for sure in?
Maybe.
I think it's 2 points, man.
It's crazy.
Carter's been talking about how much he hates his team, how they're not a top 20 net, how they shouldn't be top 20 of the net, how he doesn't want them to make the tournament, and now he's upset that we give him a two for saying
that. What did you think you were getting for that? Did you think that was like a 7 point semi-bold prediction?
Oh, yeah, somewhat. Yeah, maybe. What am I saying?
All right, let's hear the next one.
Kansas loses in the first round.
They're missing all their team. Like, they just got packed up by Cincy by 20.
If they're a four seed, that becomes like a five-ish. Because, like, again, it's still Bill Self. I think there's a very good chance they lose in the first round, but it's not a given. Like, I would bet McCuller plays in it. Maybe Hunter doesn't, but McCuller probably does. And McCuller should be enough to get you past, like, a 13 seed.
So Bill Self said that if this was the NCAA tournament last night, McCuller for sure would have played, and Hunter could not have no chance. So that, to me, it's ominous. I don't think Hunter's going to be healthy next week. Like, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be playing through pain. McCuller already has been playing through pain. They already have no depth. They have no shooting. I actually have a take that this last game hurt everyone. Like, we talked about how earlier in the season, like, the fact that the roles had kind of shifted and it was really just Furphy was actually helping guys. Okay, the final game of the season, you got packed up by 20. Now you know you stink. And Johnny Furphy, Nick Timberlake, and Elmarco Jackson all had stinkers. You telling me their confidence is in a good place entering this tournament right now? I think Kansas is going to lose in the first round, depending on who this is. So I'll let Riley choose the number, but I don't think that's particularly bold, even if the number says it will be.
I will still give out a five.
Okay.
Because I need to get
an upper point. You know, I think this one should get it for me. Marquette is the longest lasting Big East team.
That's a ten.
I like that. That's a good call.
Okay, there we go. Now
you're in on Kolick now? You've been out on Kolick all year.
I think this is going to be the year of breakthroughs for coaches that can't get it done. Like, Rick Barnes is going to do something. Like, Shaka's going to do there. Purdue's going to make a Final Four with paint. Like, that's kind of shaping up, I think, to be this year.
I love that angle. A Final Four of all coaches who couldn't get it done in the past would be really fun.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling about it.
Yeah.
Okay. My other take. Wait, I have two more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely made like seven of these. So I want to get like one that gives me a lot of points because I don't really have many right now. Sorry. Houston makes the title game.
What is that, like a four?
A four?
They're the number one team on KenPom. Like, yeah, I don't know. I four feels generous, but I don't think that Cart claims he has four other predictions. I think he has zero other predictions and just like brain farted the best team in the country wins the title as a bold prediction right there.
All I said was make the title game too, by the way.
Okay, so that's less than wins the title.
Wins the title, I'd give you like a six or a seven.
So we're giving him four? I feel horrible about giving him four just to make the title game when he just said I need to go bold for points.
What do you want to give him, Greg?
A two. What is
that? That's too harsh.
I said I wanted to leave my last one as the bold one that gives me points.
All right, we'll give him a three. We'll split the middle, Greg, and give him a three.
Fine, a three. Yeah, the best team in the country to make the title game. 3 points.
If this one's not 10, then y'all are hating. Braden Smith gets a triple-double this tournament.
I think that's more likely than the one I gave you.
What?
So I would.
How many has he had a triple double this season?
No, he hasn't had
okay,
one.
Didn't he have one? I thought he had one.
No, has not had one in his career yet.
Hold on. I want a fact check on this.
He hasn't.
I want a fact check on this.
I know for a fact.
He's been like one assist away like seven times though.
Yeah, but never got it.
I'm not saying it's not a bad prediction. I just.
Can I get eight for that?
I can for sure give eight. Look, my thing truly is that I think a one game Braden Smith 10-10-10 is significantly more likely than him being better than Zach Edey for four games or better than Zach Edey for two and they win the title. So I, what did I get for mine? I got eight for that. Seven.
You got nine.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you make it like a 14-point triple-double, he needs more than just 10 points. I need like a 14-10-10 game. I'd give that a 10.
Okay, how about this, since I want 10? He gets a triple-double and a loss.
10.
Thank you.
Okay. So you're locking in a Braden Smith triple-double in a loss?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just to make sure here. Braden Smith had 10, 10, and 8 against Wisconsin on the final game of the regular season. Four games ago, he had 11, 11, and 8. So he's right there. We're talking, never had a triple-double. Like 50% of his last four games, he's been right there. All right, let's get to the end of the show. One big thing presented by Bigby. Riley Davis may have left us. I don't know. Carter, what's your one big thing? Oh, he's back. There he is.
My one big thing is that I just want to throw it out there. I think that the development of the breakfast community, more so in regards to pancakes, kind of irks me. Pancakes aren't supposed to be like dessert, okay? Like, I get it. You want to throw chocolate chips and fruit on it, and like you want to make it like damn near a funnel cake. Sometimes just keep it simple. Just give me some straight up buttermilk pancakes. Maybe a little butter on them, syrup. That's it. I don't need show. I need efficiency. I don't want dessert. I want pancakes.
Can I just say that you unveiling that as your one big thing today by saying the development of the breakfast community specifically in regards to pancakes was the funniest way you could have possibly said that take.
Thank you.
It was incredible. Riley, what's your one big thing?
First, I got to add, if you don't have at least like some blueberries in your pancakes, it's a massive missed opportunity. I don't like plain pancakes. I need a little pizzazz. Secondly, I might have just...
Blueberry. Oh, hey, let's have a wild breakfast this morning. Let's throw some blueberries in our pancakes.
You know, Carter, I was about to pay you a compliment for my one big thing, and now I'm...
Wait, do it.
Okay. The slander of Michael Porterhouse Jr. has to stop. This man has been compared to Caleb Williams twice in the past 24 hours, once by a student of mine who stumbled on our podcast, once by Justin Spiro. Free the Brody. Stop giving him these disrespectful comps. The man is Big Cat. He is nimble. He is an athlete. He is versatile. And I'll use that to segue into just a shout out to the general sleepers community. Thank you, Greg, for your work. This March has been a great start so far. Appreciate all the listeners out there. I'm having a lot of fun doing these previews and recaps. It's got me up late, but no other way to have it during this time of the year. I'd be up late anyway. Might as well be talking hoops with y'all.
Wow. Appreciate that. Appreciate that big time. The Caleb Williams comps are crazy, though. Like,
yeah, it kind of is. It's more so that's a classic, like they're both light skinned. That's him, you know.
I will say with the new cut, I can see it more than pre the cut.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, cart be nimble, cart be quick. I'm saying cart really quick, pull out that muck stick, you know what I'm saying? All go
right.
ahead, Greg.
Okay. All right. My one big thing, I have two quick ones. My actual one big thing is for about 5 minutes before jumping on the Zoom call while I was waiting for cart to be ready, I played with my dog. Just simple as that. I just played with my dog in the basement. That's so good for morale. Like, I need to play with my dog more. It was really fun.
I love that. Shout out Bench.
Yeah, he got, like, really into it. He's laying on the couch right now looking at me. I think he wants to play again. I'm probably going to go play with him more. He's a good boy. The other one is I want to give a shout out to everyone that's working on these videos on the same note that Riley just did. I think we're all working really, really hard, and I don't know that it's getting completely noticed, and that's okay because we just love this, and that's why we're doing it. But I've had a blast doing it. I've had a blast seeing a lot of other people I really respect the work of and enjoy the work of get more involved and do more on video, honestly, because I think Cart and I's careers got in a really good spot by doing video, and if we can get other people I think are really talented to do it a little more with us, I think there's a lot of win-wins involved, and I've enjoyed it as a consumer. And that leads me to my final point, which is I want to thank you, Carter. I think you are sacrificing more than any human I've ever met. I said this in the Discord a little bit, but I just want to make that known. Like you, the amount of time you're giving me on all of the things I say we should do and then mixing in your family and your actual job is strictly insanity. So I appreciate you for that. And I think you are truly the hardest working, most sacrificial person I've ever met.
Man, if I was a crier, I'd probably shed a tear right now.
Respect. We'll be back next week. Selection Sunday is coming. We'll have an episode out Monday morning with all of our thoughts. Thank you to Riley Davis. We will see you next week.
Go Spartans, go Heels.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.